Well, good morning again. I'd like to begin our time with reading some scriptures. 1 Samuel 16, 7, if you want to read along. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. In Proverbs 21, first starting with verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth or pondereth the hearts. And I'm doing King James, thanks. In Philippians 4, 4 through 7, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, how we thank you for that promise, that you keep our hearts and our minds. Lord, thank you for this time of worship this morning, Lord, that began with the time of just remembering all that you have done for us, Lord, and how you are worthy of all praise. Lord, I pray now that you would speak, Lord. Use these words, Lord, not mine, but yours, to be an encouragement, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to continue, saints, and ask you to consider some of the songs that we sing with me. We're not going to begin with a song fest by any stretch of the imagination. But I was convicted a while back by some words of the songs that we sing. And I want you, as we review some of these songs, to focus on the words, all and heart. So, as the burden the Lord has given me is with all my heart, are we able to really and truly worship the Lord with all my heart? The first one we've already sang is the deer. My soul longeth after thee. And what grabbed my heart was the phrase that you alone are my heart's desire. You alone are my heart's desire. Could we put up you are my all in all? It's another chorus that we sing frequently. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you is a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. How about I surrender all? It's hymn 603. And I'll just skip around for time. 603, I surrender all. Look at that first line. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Make me Savior, wholly thine. Lord, I give myself to thee. But again the word, saints, I surrender all. How about amazing love? That's another precious chorus. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my king, should die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do, to honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. And again, we sing, all in all that I do, I honor you. And the last one, just by way of a reminder, is draw me close to you. Draw me close to you, never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do, because nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find the way, bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know that you are near. As I said, for a while I've been convicted about the words of these songs and others like them. And saints, they're precious to us. I believe as we worship, as we did this morning, those are those times that we truly do give our whole hearts for the Lord. And what is on my heart is just to examine ways that we can give more of our heart to the Lord. Sometimes it's fleeting. I know for me, I would give my heart to the Lord and then I'd drift way back into the flesh again. And probably I'm not alone. We've been talking recently about returning to first love. And as Jeffrey shared some of those thoughts last week, the Lord just seemed to speak to me that this is his timing, that indeed we look at all our hearts and what we do to give the Lord all our hearts. So the question was, are these words really true? Lord, do I give my heart to you? Truly, are you my all in all? Do I surrender all? Does my soul long? Can I say that you are my heart's desire? Oh, saints, probably the answer is no for all of us. That we can't truly do all of our hearts, but the Lord has just shown me in his love just a special kind of grace. And that's what I wanted to share this morning. I want to talk about keeping and guarding our hearts and our minds. I want to talk about proclaiming the word of God to our souls. You know, so many times in scriptures, heart, mind, and soul are used together to kind of describe our fleshly beings. But thank God he's also given us a spirit. So that's the first thing I wanted to talk about, was keeping and guarding our hearts and our minds. And then I was so blessed by Tozer, one of Tozer's work, when he talked about describing a way of self-judgment, not in an introspective way, but in a way that might reveal to us our really what our hearts are, what our hearts are thinking, what our hearts are doing. I want to discuss habits that we have. Habits are ways that we make our flesh comfortable, and what habits can be, both good and bad. And then the blessings of choosing Christ. Thank the Lord. That's where he's given me grace. Just to press on into him, and in so doing, he has just revealed so much more of himself in recent months, and it's just been so precious. So Jeremiah 29, starting with verse 11, For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an inspected end. I'm sorry, to give you an expected end. Then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you. Isn't that a precious promise? And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you. Saints, as we endeavor to do that, as we seek to search for him, one of the things Jeffrey shared a week or so ago was the importance of choosing to find the Lord. As we seek for him in that way, we're choosing him above those other things, those things that might satisfy our flesh, distractions, whatever they may be. But when we choose him, I believe Jeffrey said this actually last week. His life is there. And then he gives you the grace to allow more of him to come into his life. And how precious that is. And it is so true that the Lord is faithful. You know the scripture, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. That means distance. The Lord is right there with us. So as we choose him, indeed, he will be found. But as long as we're in these bodies, saints, we have to realize our hearts are wicked. Our hearts are fickle. We need to guard and keep our hearts and realize that that may very well be a battle that we face in this day and age. We can't be ignorant of the fact that our hearts, and truly our hearts, are those that we need to be able to declare our hearts are for the Lord, and we need to seek the Lord with all of our hearts. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So there again, there's that linking between our hearts and our minds. And that's an important consideration also as we consider seeking the Lord with our whole hearts. So think of maybe your favorite scripture. Think how many times heart and mind would be linked when the Lord talks about our being, our seeking him, our worshiping him, and so on. We can do as David asked the Lord in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. I'm not talking about introspection here. That's a dangerous thing to get into. But I'm talking about that true yielding of our hearts to the Lord, that true yielding of our minds to him in the Spirit by the blood of the Lord, declaring all that he has done for us. Are we able to do that? And as we yield our hearts and minds to the Lord, saints, the Lord will come in. That scripture that we read, seek me and I will be found by you, it is so true. 1 Corinthians 11:31 and 32. You know, we're told to judge ourselves as we come to the table. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And we've heard, saints, the importance of that self-judgment, how we go about doing this so that our sins would be exposed and so that we would be able to confess those sins before the Lord ask forgiveness and come to the table in that right relationship with him. It's very basic in terms of keeping that short list with the Lord and being able to draw close to him because of confession. He is quick to forgive those sins and to release us from those things that hold us back in giving him our whole hearts. Our brother Tozier wrote a book called The Incredible Christian, and he talks about the importance of this kind of self-judgment before the Lord. It's a precious book. And he said that we may be known by the following seven thoughts. Now think about this for a second. Seven kinds of thoughts that describe how we may be known. And remember, we're talking about guarding and keeping our hearts. We can't keep our hearts and minds if we don't have a feel for what they are. We won't know when those things get away from us, if you will, in terms of the thoughts and conditions, the thoughts of our mind and the thoughts of our heart. The first thing that our brother said was to think about, evaluate thoughts relating to what we want the most. That's number one. What is it that you want more than anything else in the world? I know when I was a little kid, oh, how I wanted a new bicycle. You know, think about those kind of thoughts. What is it that we want most? Do we have to have that next new thing that comes along? Do we have to keep up with the Joneses as it is and just having those things all the time? Do things occupy our thoughts? What we want most is number one. Number two is closely related, and that is what we think about the most. The two are closely related, what we want most and what we think about the most. Now, I'm not talking about the demands of parenting, the demands of our job, the responsibilities that the Lord has given us, but things that we think about voluntarily. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Remember that scripture. And I'll confess, saints, I had one thought for about 50 years. You know what that was? When I was a little boy, my dad worked for Ford. And I can still remember the day the Thunderbirds came out for public showing. You remember the Thunderbirds? Dad worked for one of the dealers out near the airport. And new car day was such a big deal. I mean, the dealers would get their cars. They would come in those car carriers, shrouded in secrecy. They'd drive the cars around to the back of the lots. They would put newspapers or that butcher paper over the showroom window so you couldn't see the new cars until it was new car day. That was a big deal. And I remember that 55 Thunderbird, and I thought, oh, that is the coolest car. And for years, 50 years, I confess, I wanted a Thunderbird, you know? And recently, as the Lord has brought this to my attention, I've thought, how much time I've wasted. And this can be pretty dangerous, too. I remember one time I was walking with Mary, I was riding with Mary. We were coming down Huguenot Road. And she was talking, and I really was not looking and listening because a Thunderbird was headed our way. And it turned right up here by the Kroger's. You know, it made a left turn in front of me. And Mary was jabbering away, and I was paying attention to the Thunderbird. And I turned, and all of a sudden she whacked me on the arm. And I said, what'd you do that for? And she said, don't move your head. I'm counting your gray hairs. Okay. So sometimes thoughts can hurt us too, okay, so far as that goes. But seriously, folks, what do we think about the most? Number three, according to our brother Tozier, what do we do with our leisure time? Think about that. I teach about 120 students a week between VCU and John Tyler. Class will be over. the bell will ring, and guess what happens within the next 15 seconds with 90% of the students? They grab that cell phone, and they're seeing what happened or what they missed during class time. Sometimes they do it during class time, too, and that can be really annoying. But, saints, are we so occupied with cell phones, with smartphones? That's why I like to keep a dumb phone. My phone just gives and receives calls, and I love it. Okay, I'm not really distracted. I actually have a smartphone, but don't know how to use it. Okay. What about video games? Okay. What about hobbies that we have, saints? What are the things that occupy our time? That can help reveal our hearts to us. Number four, how we use our money. Now, I'm not talking again about the responsibilities that we have, financial responsibilities and so on. I'm not talking about providing for our families, for the cares of the basically our needs so far as that goes. But do we have to have the latest iThingy that comes out? You know, there's this new wristwatch that can cost thousands of dollars. Is that necessary? Okay. I had a faculty member one time who had to have the latest David What's-His-Name jewelry thing. You know, you see it on billboards all around town. I don't even know its last name, but okay, whatever. She would, on payday, run right out to the jewelry store and come back the next day and have the latest bracelet or necklace or whatever. I can't tell you how much time was wasted by the teachers in the faculty lounge, oohing and eyeing over her latest bracelet or whatever. Okay? Where our money is, our heart is also. Okay? That was number four, how we use our money. Number five, what about the company that we keep? Outside of work and fellowship, who is the crowd that we hang around with? Do we have friends that we can kind of let our Christian guard down and have fun with and do kind of crazy things that we might be embarrassed to think about? So the company that we keep can also be an indication of where our hearts are. Couple more. Whom and what we admire is number six. Whom and what we admire. Again, thinking about my Thunderbird. But then I thought about the whom. You know who my hero was growing up? It's Roy Rogers. Wasn't Roy Rogers cool? Okay. Roy Rogers had a white hat. He had a white stallion. You know, he came charging in to save all kinds of people from various disasters and whatnot. But he was my hero, and I really admired him. Saints, we really need to pray for our young people today to consider who is in front of them all day long, and the songs that are sung, and the things that occupy our young people's minds, if you will, if they're into that kind of music. And finally, what we laugh at. That's number seven. Now, a sense of humor is a good thing. It's mentally healthy to laugh at ourselves at times, that's for sure. I'm not talking about that. But do we find humor in things that don't honor the Lord? And if so, then we need to examine our hearts and just confess that before the Lord and ask for forgiveness. And there may be others. But again, what we want the most, what we think about the most, what we do with our leisure time, how we use our money, the company that we keep, whom and what we admire, and then what we laugh at. And as I said, there could be others. But as I read those words by Tozer, I was really convicted that when I consider what the phrase means, all my heart, how true it was that so much of what my heart had special fondness for, those were things that were other than the Lord. so far as that goes. So the Lord can show us how we're directing our hearts and our minds if we're honest before Him in our answers. Not to be honest before the Lord and not confessing and asking forgiveness for our sins and not really desiring to know that condition and make that condition right before the Lord, saints, it's utter folly. The Lord knows our hearts. Continuing in those kinds of actions can bring that separation and death even to us if we don't confess and if we're not honest in terms of laying our hearts before the Lord. He'll show us. Psalm 139 is special in this way also. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. It's verse 1 through 6. Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain to it. But saints, the Lord knows. The Lord searches us. And as we pray to make these thoughts known before the Lord, He will reveal our thoughts, our habits of mind, if you will. And then other things that we do are basically other habits that we have. You know, stop and think about it. What is a habit? What is a habit? Habit is the way we behave on a regular basis. It's a way we act. And a habit is something, isn't this true? You can do things without thinking about them, right? I have a certain place where I start shaving every morning, and it's right here. The other day, just to think, well, what if I started somewhere else? That really messed me up. Okay? Really and truly, think about our habits. If we yield to those habits, and they're habits, as I mentioned, that are habits that are contrary ways to the Lord, saints, is that the way of the cross? No. When we yield our flesh to that examination of the Lord and pray about those habits, then truly we are crucifying our flesh when we make ourselves uncomfortable for His sake. A while back I shared about habits, and I mentioned a brother named Robert Speer. Speer lived from 1867 to 1947, and he worked with the American Presbyterian Mission. He traveled to Persia, to India, to China, to Korea, and Japan, basically traveled in the late 1800s, and it was said of him, because of his influence, the mission work in those areas really were successful. And Speer was a brother who wrote extensively for about 50 years. Some of his books, The Man Jesus Christ, The Man Paul. Another title was John's Gospel. Another book was The Principle of Jesus. He also wrote books about missions and biographies about men. But here's what he said about habits. Our habits hold for us the secret of joy and liberty, or of sorrow and slavery in life. On the one hand, by carelessness or by the deliberate choice of evil acts, one after another, we can bind ourselves in the most hopeless bondage. The terrible thing about such servitude is the insidiousness of its approach. Now listen, an evil imagination or wrong desire is cherished once. The second time, It comes back more easily and lingers longer. The third time, resistance is feebler still. Soon all struggle ceases, and the freedom of purity is gone. He went on to say, the small chains of habit are seldom heavy enough to be felt until they are too strong to be broken. Think about that. We drift into kinds of behaviors that basically we may not be aware of. Those small chains of habit are seldom heavy enough to be felt until they are too strong to be broken. So when we get into a bad habit, if you will, we get into a rut, and that rut becomes comfortable, and saints, sometimes we're not even aware of those things. But praise God, in addition to bad habits, there's good habits. Okay? That's a splendid truth that good habits, Spear says, grow just as bad habits grow, by easy and unconscious increase. A Christian boy refuses to lie. Again, the temptation comes and he refuses with a steady heart. Again, temptation knocks, but the lad never hears. His habit of truthfulness has made the temptation to lie no temptation to him. And this is a liberty of noble habit. It lifts us above all the temptations whose victory over us would result in the contrary habits of evil. A pure home, pure friends, pure books, and a pure heart carry the man who has been blessed with them through defilement and stain, and they never touch his spirit. Praise God for the influence of godly parents. We also have spiritual habits. Praise the Lord for that. We acquire spiritual habits as we walk with the Lord. Prayer can become a habit. But saints, prayerlessness can become a habit also. Do we just rush to do things in our own flesh? Or do we stop and take that moment to pray? As I was meditating this morning, I thought, thank the Lord for my wife. Marcia prays for me, for us. But I can remember one of my older family members one time, years ago. She had been out with Marcia somewhere, and she said, your wife is the prayingest woman I know. And I said, what do you mean by that? She said, well, I didn't know what store to go to, and you know what your wife did? She prayed about it. If it had been just me, I would have just gone. She said that in kind of a derogatory way. But folks, guess who the first person that lady calls when she gets into a bind? She recognized God's working in her life and how the Lord touched her through those prayers. Thank the Lord for our spouses who pray for us. Thank the Lord for our children who pray for us. And we have a special privilege to pray for our children as well and make that one of our habits. So, sensing God's presence can become a habit. That habitual consciousness of being in the Lord's presence is something that He delights to show to us. Or we can drift into just being forgetful about the Lord and walk through our day just kind of driven by the wind, if you will. We can acquire the habit of seeking the Lord first thing in the morning. How many times have we heard that? Or we can sleep in, and then what happens? We become frantic. We oversleep. You know, we're thinking creatures. We think all the time. So what happens then when you're late for work? You worry about what's happening in traffic in front of you. You're worried about the bridge traffic. Your day starts in a frenzy. And it's just not good. We can really get out of sorts that way if it's not our habit to give our Lord that time in the morning. So, for me, the first thing was realizing how hard it is for me to give my all to the Lord. And then the Lord showed me this. What do we do? How can we actually make it real in our lives? We need to declare Galatians 2:20 as a starter. We've heard this before. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I can live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We make that declaration to our flesh, and folks, it's so much easier when we honor the Lord in that way. In so doing, the Lord reveals to us his constraining love. We talked this morning about how his love is everlasting. His love is beyond our comprehension as we began our worship time together. In 2 Corinthians 5, the word talks about God's love being constraining. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. And that he died for all, that they who live should not henceforth live unto themselves. And that's, I believe, what I've been talking about, what the Lord's shown me. Living unto myself, but unto him who died for them and rose again. So that love of Christ, that constraining love of Christ, have you ever really meditated on that verse, saints? What does it mean to be constrained? It's to be held by bonds. That's what Webster says. But when we think of God's constraining love, think of those cords of love that hold us to him. Those cords of love, it's mentioned in Hosea, that God used to draw Israel to himself. It's precious, that constraining love that he has for each one of us. In 2 Thessalonians 3, we see another illustration of how that love works. 2 Thessalonians 3, 3 through 5. The Lord directs your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. The Lord directs your hearts, but we have to be yielded to him. Again, Tozer, in the dwelling place of God, said to love God with all of our hearts, we must first of all will to do so. We should repent our lack of love and determine from this moment on to make God the object of our devotion. This is that doing that we've been hearing about last couple weeks, about returning to first love. To love God with all of our hearts, we must first of all will to do so. Now, we're not going to stumble across God or find him by accident. Remember what we said in Jeremiah, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me, how? With all your heart. Romans 6 through 8 is a wonderful section of scriptures. Would encourage you to kind of review that. It talks about how we go through this crucifying experience, basically, how self is dethroned, and then the Lord is enthroned in our lives. So that's a good starting place. But there's another book that has been a real blessing to me. And saints, we can't get this anymore. Sitting at the Feet of Jesus by Johannes Fascius. Johannes came and spoke at the conference several years ago. And what our brother has done through this book has just been such an encouragement to me. I wish it were still in print. But our brother shares his burden about the seeking the Lord that I've been talking about, and how the mind and the heart work together, and how we may be able actually to begin a process of doing this. The book's divided into two sections. Listening to God is the first section, and entering his rest is the second section. And he begins with the story of Mary and Martha. We know that story in Luke 10. Remember, Martha was the one that was just kind of running around the house, aggravated with her sister because her sister wasn't helping. Let's look at that. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. That one thing that Mary did was made a choice. She chose the good part, and that was noticed by the Lord. She chose to sit at the Lord's feet and to focus on him, not the busyness of serving the guest. Sure, the Lord was a special guest, but she chose to sit at his feet and to hear the Lord. This was her priority. The Lord honored that. Only as we learn to make time and space for communion with the Lord by an act of our will shall we be delivered from the troubles and anxiety that would otherwise seek to dominate our innermost being, is what our brother says. As we learn to make time and space for communion with the Lord by an act of our will. As we sit at his feet, saints, choosing to do that and making that a priority, what do we do? We know what we're to do. We study, we meditate on his word. And in doing that, the Lord will reveal himself to us. Colossians 3 describes letting the word dwell in us richly, teaching and admonishing one another, and then allowing the peace of God to rule in our hearts. When we allow this dwelling, when we allow the Lord of God to dwell richly in us, and when we have the peace of God ruling in our hearts, saints, then we are guarding and keeping our hearts and our minds. In this, the Holy Spirit can then lead us into making right choices, can lead us into finding a right direction, and not giving way to the flesh and falling back into those fleshly things. How can we determine then what is our flesh and what is it? What of the Lord? Basically, when we make that determination, those things of him become easier to bring to our attention. The Lord actually will reveal those thoughts to us by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 4 tells us, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. Folks, we won't have that discerner of our thoughts and intents of the heart unless the word of God is something that we make ourselves available to hear, to meditate on. We know that. So walking our daily walk in this way just brings about that wonderful promise that we know in Isaiah, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So we have to realize we're in a battle for our mind. We've already mentioned the cares of life that can distract us. In Luke, we're told that this will continue and even get worse, saints, as the days go on, as we approach the last days. We're told to watch and we're told to pray that the cares of this life will not trap us and that we be counted worthy to escape these things. Let's look in Luke 21, starting with verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares, for like a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and stand before the Son of Man. Counted worthy to escape these things. Again, guarding our hearts and minds. Proverbs 23 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." So in this day, we need to fill our hearts, we need to fill our minds. We need to richly dwell and spend that time with the Lord. So when we come to him by choice, then what do we do? Well, as I said, we pray. We be still before the Lord. We spend time in his word. Meditate. Memorize scripture. How many times have we heard that? And saints, I can't tell you in the 40 years I've known the Lord how many times I've heard that. But recently, as I've gone into that yet again in a new way, the Lord has so honored it. That's the burden of my heart. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If we purpose in our heart to do this, and if we ask the Lord, that's that request to be made known to God. If we ask him to do that, saints, he will do it, and he will honor that. And the blessings are indescribable. Now, some of your translations might be using the word soul when I've been talking about heart. But I said earlier, we have heart and soul and mind, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we have his Spirit living in us also. So what do we do with our soul? Well, just a couple verses. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. David made that declaration and told his soul what to do in the power of the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And over in Psalm 42, verse 11, he addresses the soul again. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. So, saints, this guarding and keeping requires that we actively proclaim the word of God over our hearts and our minds and our soul. Keeping and guarding, thus, proclaiming God's word, remember what that is? That's the sword of the Spirit. We're wielding that sword of the Spirit when we proclaim his word over our souls. It protects us from our adversary. This proclaiming is the doing that we've been hearing about so far as enabling us to return to that first love. By this obedience to God's word, when we do this, saints, we're resisting steadfast in the faith. That's what Peter said. And God's blessing will follow. I shared this little book with a believer, basically who had hit rock bottom in his life. This was about a year ago. He had lost his job. He had been publicly humiliated, circumstances that made him lose his job. He was isolated from his family. Basically, he was in despair like no man I have ever talked with. 2 weeks after I gave him that book, we met, and he said in tears, he said, you know, there weren't any new things in that book. But he said, the practice of it this time, he said, now I can understand what it means to soar like an eagle. Because the Lord lifted me up. And the Lord is sustaining me now. And he's giving me peace like I've never, ever had before. In my own experience, as I mentioned, when I come to the Lord in this way, my day is completely different. You know, I mentioned a while ago about getting up early and spending that time with the Lord. Doesn't your day go so much better when you do that? Here's the way the Lord's been transforming some of my thoughts. Get up in the morning. It's early. It's before the sun comes up. And I hear the birds outside. And you know the thought the Lord brings to my heart? Thank the Lord for the beauty of the singing of the birds. Thank you, Lord, for eyes to see the sunrise. It's as if the condition of my heart frees me to worship him instead of thinking about all the 10,000 things I have to do on my to-do list for that day. It's that freeing, just coming to him with our whole hearts. But saints, are we 100% able to do that as we live in this flesh? Do you think we can, honestly? Well, that's where the Lord's grace and mercy, something else that he's shown me through this. I can't do it. I wish I could all the time, 100% give my all, and really honestly declare to the Lord, you are my all in all. The Lord's let me see enough of this truth that I know that I know that that's the abiding that we hear about, that is just so rich a place to be in with the Lord, abiding in his presence. Again, this is part of the doing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. A big step for me was confessing that I was not able. And then the Lord directed me to the story of Thomas. Okay, in John 20. So if we could turn to that, just in closing, a couple other scriptures. John 20, the story of Thomas begins with verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, the disciples were inside, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach here thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach here thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, and my God. That revelation. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Listen to what the Lord told Thomas. First of all, what did he say to the whole group? Peace be unto you. Can you imagine being in a locked room and all of a sudden the Lord was there, no doors opened? Might that not unnerve you a little bit? Well, saints, the Lord knows our hearts. He cares enough. How many times in scriptures has the Lord said, peace be unto you, when he appeared, when things like that happened? The Lord also said, let not your heart be troubled. It's another precious thing that the Lord told us to let us know that he cares for our hearts. But going back to Thomas, many times when we talk about Thomas, we talk about verse 29, about faith. But folks, look at verse 27. Be not faithless, but believing. Be believing. Trust in the Lord and be believing. Been thinking about again those many scriptures our brother shared about first love and returning to him and the doing that's necessary for that. Well, be believing is what the Lord would have us to do. We need to be active in keeping our hearts and minds. We need to choose to spend that time at the Lord's feet. And I believe that if we confess that we're not able to do this with all of our hearts, saints, here's kind of the progression that will happen. Think about when the Lord healed the man with the withered hand. The Lord knew the man was there. The Lord told him to stretch forth thy hand. And in doing that, he was healed. It was that action on his part that allowed the Lord then to see the condition of his heart and then make himself manifest to him in that healing. So that's the action. That's the doing so far as that goes. And I was greatly encouraged by Hebrews. I've been talking about all of our hearts, and that's virtually, well, prayerfully not impossible all the time. It's tough to do. We need to recognize that. But there's a new term in Hebrews. And this is where the grace of God comes in. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. In full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. A true heart. Let us draw near with a true heart. How do we do that? Praise God for his grace and his mercy. The Spirit of the Lord makes every word of confession of sin or of surrender to his will, every act of trust in his grace, a living reality. How? By the true expression of his Holy Spirit in us. This constitutes the true heart. So we may not be able to truthfully say all of our hearts, but saints, may we before the Lord say, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, we come near with true hearts. Only he can do that in us. Shall we pray? Lord, how we thank you that you know our hearts. You know how hard, Lord, our flesh fights against us. You know, Lord, the condition of our hearts when we say, I give you my all. But Lord, would you reveal to us such love, such keeping love? Lord, as we give you our whole hearts, Lord, may our hearts be true to you. And Lord, thank you that you are our advocate and you do pray for us. Lord, so that we may know that reality. Lord, of coming to you with a true heart, you're enabling by your grace and mercy. Be with us, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.